Welcome, wizards, to Carnarvon Gorge. We are about to take an unforgettable journey deep into a spectacular steep-sided gorge where towering white sandstone cliffs envelop a creekside oasis. Let every twist and turn of boulder-strewn Carnarvon Creek reveal a splendid scene, a new plant, or amazing animal. We will venture deep into cool, lush side gorges, their subtly colored walls carved by water and time. We will awaken our senses and nurture our spirits, discovering the wealth of culture and natural treasures of this very special park. Hasten slowly in this wild place. Let the feeling of peace and tranquility enter the spirit. Breathe deeply and enjoy the scents of the bush. Well, wizards, here we are. There's been quite a lot of planning involved, pretty much since the end of the Spring Awakening last year, to get us to this point. And look, we really appreciate all of you once again for making the effort to disconnect from your lives in suburbia and in the coastal communities and take some time out for yourselves and each other and share some of the bounty and riches of the central western part of Queensland and this beautiful country of ours, Australia. Over the next few minutes, I'm just going to give you guys just a little bit of a run through of exactly where we are, a little bit about Carnarvon Gorge National Park, the history, European history, features, the rocks, the landscapes, how it all came to be, the climate, in particular, plants, animals, flora and fauna, yeah, we should cover quite a bit of ground as normal. We're also going to finish up with also some features about Roma. So Roma famous faces and a little bit about the township of Roma where we all drove through on the way out to Carnarvon. Okay. So where exactly are we? Carnarvon Gorge is located in the southern Brigalow Belt bioregion in central Queensland, Australia, 539 kilometres northwest of Brisbane. Primarily created by water erosion, Carnarvon Gorge is around 30 kilometres long, located in Carnarvon National Park, and 600 metres deep at the mouth. It is the most visited feature within Carnarvon National Park, due to the diversity of experiences it contains and the ease with which it can be accessed. History. Some Western researchers have suggested that Aboriginal people did not live in the gorge permanently due to defensive concerns and lack of food resources, whilst others suggest that permanent occupation was not allowed due to the gorge being considered sacred. The Dreamtime stories tell of a tale of the rainbow serpent, which made the gorges and which resides in the permanent waterholes today. What is the Dreamtime story of Carnarvon Gorge? The Dreaming says that the rainbow serpent, Mudgarra, created Carnarvon Gorge as he travelled through the creek system, coming in and out of the water and carving the sandstone as he travelled. The fragile art on the gorge's sandstone walls reflects a rich culture. So, who are the traditional owners of the Carnarvon Gorge? Carnarvon Gorge traditional owners are the Aboriginal Yugara people who named this area long ago Gwandru, meaning neck of water. The Bidjara and Kurrungbal people also are connected to country here. What ancient evidence was found at Carnarvon Gorge? Carnarvon Gorge rock sites are thought to have been in use for at least 3,650 years. In the Mount Moffat section of the park, excavations of Kenneth's Cave revealed occupational evidence dating back 19,500 years, indicating a long period of human habitation for the central Queensland highlands. European history. Ludwig Leichhardt was the first European explorer to pass nearby and make note of the ranges during his expedition to Port Essington in 1844. 2 years later, Thomas Mitchell passed to the west of Carnarvon Gorge. It was Mitchell who named the Carnarvon Range, possibly after Henry Herbert, the third Earl of Carnarvon. The Earl of Carnarvon is a title that had been created three times, that has only been created three times in British history. The current holder is George Herbert, the 8th Earl of Carnarvon. The town and country in Wales to which the title refers are historically spelt Carnarvon, having been anglicised to Carnarvon. The reports of pasture land and good water carried back to the colonies. This brought settlers to the area and began a period of bloody conflict between settlers and Aboriginals. By the late 1870s, the newcomers had prevailed. Local Aboriginals sought refuge on properties run by those sympathetic to their plight. Subsequent years would see many forcibly removed from their homelands and transferred to government and church-run reserves and missions. The later process of removal is considered by some to have been culturally more destructive than the direct conflict that preceded it. The farming of cattle and growing of crops remains a vibrant industry around Carnarvon Gorge. But since 1932, it was gazetted as a national park. Such activities have no longer been allowed in the gorge itself. In 1974, the Kaka Mundi area, which has been heavily grazed for about a century, also became part of the park. In place of the grazing cattle, a tourism industry has grown. Over 70,000 visitors per annum make the trek to visit Carnarvon Gorge. Features. A variety of cultural and natural values that elsewhere in the region would require considerable travel to experience. Significant indigenous cultural sites and rock art sites, narrow sandstone canyons, extensive sandstone cliff lines, basalt-capped tablelands and mountain ranges, and relict rainforest vegetation. Rocks and landscapes. How did all this come to be, you may ask? Well, Carnarvon Gorge landscapes have largely been shaped by water erosion. Over the last 27 million years, Carnarvon Creek, which winds for over 30 kilometres, has carved down through 600 metres of stone, exposing rocks from three significant phases of Queensland's geological history, including two sedimentary basins, the Bowen and Surat, and the Buckland volcanic province. The youngest rocks in the area are the igneous basalt rocks of the Buckland volcanic province, which were laid down between 35 and 27 million years ago at depths of up to 300 metres. The basalt layer is present on the top of the high countryside, either side of the gorge, where it protects the landscape from erosion and generally significantly different soils to those derived from the lower sedimentary rocks. Boulders eroded the basalt layer dominate the gorge's waterways due to their ability to resist water erosion better than sedimentary rocks they once overlaid. The precipice sandstone is one of the primary intake beds for the Great Artesian Basin. giving the area where it lies exposed significance as a replenishment zone. Below the precipice sandstone, the gorge's floor is formed by the uppermost layer of the Bowen Basin. The impermeability of this layer allows the water generated by Carnarvon Gorge Springs to remain close to or above the surface, a significant interplay in terms of the availability of water within the gorge's ecosystem. This area, Carnarvon Gorge, was once described as the roof of Queensland, similar to the Blue Mountains, gorges and slot canyons that we visited last year. Carnarvon Creek, whose flow has only been known to stop twice since records commenced, is an incredibly reliable water source. In times of drought, it turns the gorge into an oasis, which supported forms of life long since passed from the semi-arid ecosystems surrounding it. Each of the rock strata exposed in the gorge erodes and weathers according to its own characteristics, and the variety of soil types and landforms generated goes a long way towards explaining why Carnarvon Gorge supports such a diversity of life. Climate. Carnarvon Gorge's climate is considerably different from that experienced in the flatter terrain surrounding it. Average rainfall in the gorge is higher per annum and temperatures on the gorge floor are moderate. Flora. Three broad vegetation types are present in Carnarvon Gorge. One, eucalyptus dominated woodland to open woodland. Two, mixed eucalyptus, acacia, white cypress pine, turpentine woodlands, and open forest or sandstone slopes, scarps, ridges, and residuals. And three, cleared and or regrowth areas. Two plant species in particular are considered Carnarvon Gorge icons. Number one, the cycad. We will see some of these dotted around the gorge as we pass. Number two, the Carnarvon fan palm. Large palm trees bursting out of the canyon floor, similar to something you might see in the Middle East. These are found throughout central Queensland, but Carnarvon is considered its stronghold. Fauna. Carnarvon Gorge has a rich mammalian fauna, including Australia's two monotremes. What is a monotreme? The monotremes are a group of highly specialized egg-laying predatory mammals containing the platypus and echidnas. They are the only known group of living mammals that lay eggs rather than bearing live young. Carnarvon Gorge is considered one of the best places in Australia to see platypus in their natural environment. Please note, platypuses are venomous. They might look cute and cuddly, but some come across a male platypus in mating season and you'll be in for a painful shock. Male platypuses have a hollow spur on each hind leg connected to a venom gland, secreting venom into their victims. And while their venom is lethal, there are no recorded deaths from platypus stings. Platypuses lay eggs. Despite being a mammal, platypuses lay eggs, making them a monotreme. They're one of only five monotreme species left in existence. Platypuses are buoyant. With two layers of fur for insulation and waterproofing, platypuses use their fur to trap a layer of air next to their skin so they can remain buoyant and dry when they're underwater, which they are a lot. The platypus spends about 12 hours a day, every day, underwater, looking for food. Another monotreme of interest is the famous echidna. A couple of interesting facts about the echidna is that the echidnas make a snuffling noise when they're on the hunt for food. Males also have a spur on each hind leg, but unlike the platypus, they are non-venomous. The tongue of the echidna can grow up to 17 centimetres long as they use it to look for food, insects and ants. Also, there are a variety of types of kangaroos and wallabies that we may see and are likely to see in and around Carnarvon Gorge. The Eastern Grey Kangaroo. Please consult the Wizard's Guide to Carnarvon Gorge for photos of each of these animals so you can get a better idea of the difference between them. The Eastern Grey Kangaroo. With a population of several million across Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria and Tasmania, the highest ever recorded speed of any kangaroo was 64 kilometres an hour, set by a large female Eastern Grey Kangaroo. An adult male stands taller than a grown man and can weigh up to 66 kilos. Total length of the head and body averages well over 2 metres or 6 foot 5, with nearly half of this being the length of the tail. The bounding gait of the Eastern Grey Kangaroo allows them to cover 25 feet in a single leap and up to six, and they can jump up to 6 feet high. Kangaroos can't sweat when they are hot, as people do. Instead, they lick their chests and the inside of their forearms till the skin is quite soggy. The blood vessels in these areas are close to the surface of the skin. When the moisture evaporates, it cools the blood circulating underneath, which helps them to cool down. This evaporating and cooling technique is the same principle that's used in air conditioners. Kangaroos also have thick eyelashes that help protect their eyes from the glare of the sun. We'll dive into a couple of wallabies now. The pretty face wallaby. Some key features of the pretty face wallaby or whiptail wallaby is that it's a social species, sometimes coming together in mobs of up to 50, and they live in a home range of up to 1 square kilometre. So 50 pretty face wallabies per square kilometre that are on the move. The mob usually gathers in the afternoon during feeding. Some home ranges may overlap with others, and members of the mob take turns resting and guarding. The mob contains all ages and sexes throughout the year, but seldom, if ever, are all members of a mob together at one time. Mobs often split in continually changing subgroups of fewer than 10 animals. The whiptail wallaby, or pretty-faced wallaby, mobs have a linear hierarchy that is determined by ritualized pawing, which is non-violent. They may also pull grass. Whiptail wallabies will cough to show submission. Another example of a wallaby we were likely to see around Carnarvon. It's a bit smaller, sort of a darker blacky charcoal colour. It's called the swamp wallaby. There's basically a threat to their survival, as a lot of the swamp areas in and around Carnarvon are close to roads, and often they're seen close to roads. So often they can become a large sort of volume of roadkill, unfortunately, for the swamp wallaby. Other sources of threat for the swamp wallaby are predators including dingoes, eagles, and wild dogs. While in the water, swamp wallabies are excellent swimmers, however, and move with a doggy paddle style, and they can move their hind legs independently, or in like a kicking motion. However, when they're on land, they are only able to move their legs together. Like many marsupials, female swamp wallabies can suckle two joeys of different ages. A wallaroo. Here's a couple of fun facts about a wallaroo. A wallaroo is a common name for several species of moderately large macropods, intermediate in size between the kangaroo and the wallaby. It has been estimated that they can live up to 24 years in the wild. Record longevity in captivity, however, is 22 years. Wallaroo's body shape has them having shorter limbs than other species of kangaroo, which may be an adaptation due to leaping around on rocks with short, broad hind feet, which have roughened soles for extra grip. The male can be up to twice the female size, with particularly thick-set forearms and shoulders. And the last feature here, quite an interesting one here, and I've seen plenty of these in some of the YouTube clips that I've seen around of Carnarvon Gorge, is the red-necked wallaby. The red-necked wallaby are mainly nocturnal. They spend most of their daytime resting. During courting, interestingly, the female first licks the male's neck. The male will then rub his cheek against the female's. Then the male and female will fight briefly, standing upright like two males. After they finally mate, a couple will stay together for one day before separating. A female bears one offspring at a time. The young stay in the pouch for 280 days. Also, redneck wallabies engage in alloparental care, which means that one individual may adopt the child of another. This is common behavior seen in many other animal species like wolves, elephants, and humans. Guys, we're just going to move through now to the last of the feature animals, which we're going to showcase here, are gliders. So interestingly, gliders I found during my research around Carnarvon Gorge. There's actually quite a lot of them around in the gorge area. So five of Australia's seven species of gliders can be found in Carnarvon Gorge. Number one, the greater glider. Greater gliders are primarily nocturnal, spending the night foraging in the highest parts of the forest canopy. During the day, they spend most of their time denning in hollowed trees. Due to its nocturnal lifestyle, a natural predator of the gliders is the powerful owl. Greater gliders do not make any loud sounds and are thought to communicate through scent marking. These animals regularly glide between high trees and can use their tail to assist in steering. They avoid travelling on the ground wherever possible because it is slow and clumsy if forced to do so. The yellow-bellied glider. These are the ones that you typically see also around the suburban parts of Brisbane. The total life expectancy for these guys is around 6 years. It does have a distinctive growling call that it uses by means of communication. It has been recorded to have this sort of sound. Sort of sounds like the Predator, the movie In the Predator, that sort of crackling type sound. You can hear it late at night, often here in Brisbane. It has been heard up to 500 metres away. Interestingly, the yellow-bellied glider can glide up to 150 metres in the air. The squirrel glider. They have a flying membrane that extends from their fifth front toe to the back of their foot on both sides. When they glide, their prehensile tail can act as a rudder, allowing them to steer which direction they want to go. They can glide up to 50 metres between trees. Squirrel gliders can curl their tails around branches also to hold on. Number four, sugar glider. It comes from the Latin word short-headed rope dancer, a reference to their canopy acrobats. Gliding serves as an efficient means of reaching food and evading predators. The sugar glider is nocturnal. Its large eyes help it see at night, and its ears swivel to help locate prey in the dark. Lastly, our fifth showcased glider is the feather tail glider. Now, those that may Remember back in the day, the 1 cent coin? The 1 cent coin in Australia featured the feather-tail glider on it. It's a copper coin, really small. The feather-tail glider is only around the size of a small mouse and is the world's smallest gliding mammal. The tail is about the same length as the body and head combined. A feather-tail glider was featured on the reverse of the Australian 1 cent coin until 1991, when the 1 cent denomination was discontinued. Movement through the trees is aided by their gliding ability. They can glide as far as 28 meters and typically do so 3 to 5 times every hour through the night. They have even proved able to climb vertical panels of glass, a feat that is due to a combination of fine skin ridges and sweat that allow their feet to function as suction cups. Okay, guys, hopefully that gave you just a brief introduction to the landscapes, some of the indigenous history, very, very light touch on the plants, animals, flora and fauna available in this area of Carnarvon Gorge.